Hello, good morning. I'm really excited to share with you on this topic. I know that I'm only 22 years old. I don't know whose idea it was to give me a mic, but here we are. So, before we get started, I want to just say thank you to Christina Williams and everybody who is a part of making this conference happen. These frames behind me are gorgeous, the tables. So thank you so much for all of your work, all of your effort. Oh, she's pointing at somebody. I'm like, Yasti, where is she? Love you, mommy. She's amazing. It looks wonderful. So thank you guys, and thank you for the opportunity of allowing me to speak. Before we get started, I want to share a little bit about myself. If you don't know, my name is Miranda Quigley. I sing soprano on our worship team. And this is my husband. He's a total babe. He's gorgeous. And that picture on the right, I put that up there because I really like it. And that's pretty much an active picture of what we look like on a regular basis. And I get a lot of credit for things that he does. I have to say, technically I have the title, the worship coordinator, but he's way taller than me, way stronger than I am, and I use him for everything. He works full time and he is here full time with me all the time. So he really does carry me through all this. He's awesome. And he's words of affirmation as his love language. So if you could help me out and just let him know how awesome he was, it will really help me out. Because I am not words of affirmation. So let him know. We have two beautiful daughters together. This is Babs. I know, they get their good looks from me. This is Babs on the left. She is 2 years old. She is my firstborn, and she is my pride and joy. Angel, leader of the house. She struggles with anxiety, but we're working on it. She should have been in Sandy's message. This is Fiona on the right. We're working on her. She keeps growing this way, but her head is the same size as it was when we got her. She is quite large, and she eats my walls. So I didn't put a picture of that. I love her unconditionally on Sundays. Conditionally on the rest of the week, on the rest of the days of the week. But these are my beautiful children, and they run our world. And I thought on the topic of building relationships, it would be important to let you know that Michael and I'll say Quigley is his last name. Everybody knows him as Quigley. Sometimes I may call him Michael. I'm talking about the same thing. I'm not married to two men. Okay. Michael or Quigley, I will reference him as both of those things. We really value building relationships, and we wanted to instill this value into our daughters as well, because the Bible says raise your kids in the way they should go. So this next picture is a picture of them at their small group. This is actually Babs' first birthday. So we invited her friends, Babs and Fiona, on the way to the dog park. That's Babs and Angus at Lake Mary Farmers Market, and Moose and Oscar, lots of friends. This picture on the bottom right is what most of you look like during Sunday meet and greet. Where we're like, get out of your aisles and say hi to some people. And you're like. And Lincoln's trying, right? This is Lincoln trying to sit next to her. She's just ignoring him. So, no, but seriously, I am really excited to share with you on the topic of building relationships. And I am honored to do so. And in fact, the reason that I wanted to share on this topic, well, Christina asked me for one. But there was a conversation that somebody had with me years ago, 2011, where they sat me down, and basically this is how it goes. He pulls me aside. He's one of my leaders at the time, and he's like, hey, you're hanging out with two people. I had basically two friends. They are, I'll share about them later. They're amazing. But I was in high school, not dating anybody, leading worship in the youth group, not dating, not married, not really doing anything, just kind of enjoying high school. And I have two friends that I hang out with all the time. And he basically pulls me aside and he's like, hey, I think that you should, as I've just noticed, your circle of friends, there's two of them, I think you should expand your circle. Because if you don't, you might be in trouble. And I didn't really understand what he was saying at the time, but he basically said, you need to hang out with people who can push you to where you currently are not. So what he was challenging me, he wasn't saying by any means to stop hanging out with who I was hanging out with. They are incredible people. He was simply saying, hang out with people who can push you further. People who are further than where you are, who are maybe where you want to be, right? These are the girls that I was running with. I want to follow some people. So basically he was telling me to expand your circle. And I am here today to have this same conversation with you. Because it changed my life in 2011, my whole life. That night, I went home, and I remember taking out pen and paper, and I'm like, okay, expand my circle, whatever the heck that means. So I'm like writing it down. You know, who around me is further than I am in whatever, you know, whatever area of life. So I'm like writing, who's older than I am? Like maybe I can get somebody in their 60s and their 50s and their 40s, just like hit every decade, whatever. So I'm like writing down some people that I can hang out with. And basically I was challenged in that moment to choose to pursue relationships with people who are further than me, as well as being challenged to maybe be a mentor for some other people. Maybe I was further than some people in youth group who would look up to me, and you get the idea. So today, I am talking with you on expanding your circle, and I'm really excited about it because I get to share so many things with you. But I want to first, before we talk about how to and whatever it is that we're talking about, I want to first share with you why it matters. And I'm going to give you three different biblical views on why this matters, expanding your circle. We see people in Scripture all the time who have people to call. There are people in Scripture who went to wise counsel. There are people in Scripture who went to no counsel, and there are people in Scripture who went to foolish counsel. And the fact is, people in Scripture always had someone to call, and who they called made a difference. So let's just look at what this means. Let's look at people who called on wise counsel. Here at City Church, we say we are better together. Sign up for a small group. We're better together. We see this all the time. I think oftentimes we can look at Scripture and we see the people, the main characters, and the victories that they've won. But the reality is when you take a step back and look at the Bible stories, they always had somebody, a support system, somebody to call. So we look at Moses, who spearheads the deliverance from Egypt, right? He spearheads deliverance from the Israelites out of Egypt. But who did he have? Aaron. He had Aaron. Moses had Aaron. We see it in David and Jonathan. David is king, right? And Jonathan warns him that someone is out to kill him. He has his back. And that's actually what saves David's life. We see it with Ruth and Naomi. Ruth doesn't leave Naomi. It ends up being this crazy season in Scripture where you just see these two people partner up next to each other. They are loyal to one another, and they thrive because of the relationships that they have with one another. We see it with Esther and Mordecai, right? Esther ends up becoming queen, and she goes to Mordecai, actually comes to her, and together you can read the story. I'm trying to narrate so many Scripture verses in one, but you're getting the idea. Mordecai goes to Esther, and together they actually save the entire Jewish race. We need relationships. Jesus had 12 disciples. We see it. He had his own small group, three of them specifically. He's a little bit closer with. He calls them his beloved, right? We see Peter, James, and John. We're built to have relationships. We're better together. We see it all the time. And then we also see people who call on foolish counsel, right? We know the story of Job. Job has friends. They give him awful advice, and God actually condemns them for it, right? You can read the story of Job and look at exactly what happened, but we see it there. We also see it when Abraham takes advice from Sarah to commit adultery in order to have Ishmael. There are people who called on foolish counsel. There are also people who called on nobody, not because they didn't have someone to call, because they didn't call on them. Think about Jonah. So we're better together. My other thing is that we're worse alone. Think about Jonah. What would Jonah, we know the story of Jonah. He hears from God. He's scared about what he heard. He runs away, gets eaten by a whale. Right? What would Jonah's story had looked like had he called some people about what he thought he heard from God? If he had called people who also heard from God, right? Because he's wanting to call people who are maybe further along, maybe know a little bit more than what he does. What if Jonah called three people and just said, hey, I think I heard this from God. I'm scared out of my mind. What do you think I should do? Do you think those three people would have been like, you should definitely run away? Don't listen to him. You should. No, that wouldn't have happened. It would have saved him a lot of digestion. That's not what happened. And then, of course, we see Judas. Judas is presented with an opportunity to betray Jesus. He doesn't tell anyone for some silver. Oftentimes, we are presented with opportunities. We're just not sure. Sometimes it's silver, and sometimes it's God's will, and we're not sure, right? We need people to call. We are better together. We are worse alone. We see it in Scripture. And so today, my question to you is who are you going to call? Who? You see the name? Rakonda. Everybody can call Rakonda. She'll answer. Who are you going to call? Who are you going to call when you are in a financial situation and you just need some guidance? Who are you going to call when there's a job transition opportunity in front of you? Who are you going to call when your marriage is falling apart or maybe when it's thriving? Who are you going to call for these different areas of your life? If you're not sure, listen to this. If you're not sure, you may have unknowingly positioned yourself for failure. I didn't know this. In 2011, I was told this, expand your circle, because your life will be really hard if you don't. And that was pretty much where it ended. And now being on this side of the spectrum, I can look back and every single area of success that I have had in my life is directly related to somebody giving me the right action step or putting me in the right mindset to continue to be obedient to God's will and seeking counsel on everything. On every single thing. So, of course, I've titled my message today, Expand Your Circle. Everybody say, Expand Your Circle. Now, because I've walked through it, I sincerely believe that this message, if you allow it, will change your life and will impact you for the years to come. And I also want to say this. I know that I'm 22 years old and I don't have any children. I mean, I have two kids, okay? But I don't have any kids that walk this way. I know that I don't have kids, and you're saying, you know, well, you have time to make friends, and but this is not a age limitation whatsoever. People in the Bible lived in their 900s. Okay, so put the age thing aside, put the life situations aside. We're better together in healthy community, and we'll learn soon that we connect together over weaknesses. We connect together in different areas of our life. So we need each other. Christina asked me, she uses the word cabinet. I had to Google that. I think it's a political term. Okay. She used the word cabinet, and she said, will you share on building your cabinet? Basically, the people that I have learned to call on. And I talk about this story because I think it's funny, but we'll get there. Okay, so we see, she says, will you talk on this cabinet? Talk about how you have created this circle of people to call, because I thank God, I feel like I have the best friends on the planet, the best mentors, and plural. I mean, like, lots of people to call for everything. And as I was thinking about this idea, obviously there's a saying that we hear pretty often that says, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Okay, my husband had never heard that before, so when I was preaching to him, he was like, you're what? I was like, okay, I really hope people know that. Okay, it says, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Show me your friends and I'll show you your future. And Solomon talks about this in Proverbs because it's obvious that the people that we spend the most time with will help determine the trajectory of our life, whether we want them to or not. Solomon writes this in Proverbs chapter 13. He says this, walk with the wise and become, for a companion of fools suffers harm. In other words, if you hang out with people who are smarter than you, better than you, wiser than you, maybe have better marriages, are maybe better with money, or have figured out how to get out of debt, are better leaders, they know how to lead people really well. If you hang out with those people, there's opportunity to rise and grow alongside them. And then in contrast, if you hang out with fools, people who don't encourage you, people who tear you down, people will tell you to swipe your credit card and cosign and do all these things, and you just say, okay, whatever you say, I guess I'll listen. You know, if you hang out with fools, they're gonna line you up that way, right? A companion, a fool, suffers what? Suffers harm. We need to be around people who believe in us. My sister, my middle sister, she stopped going to church a while ago, but there was one time she just was talking to me, and she's like, I'm having trouble because I just feel like, you know, I never hear anything, like nobody ever says anything good about me. Now, I've grown up in City Church I've been here since 2005, so I've constantly been around people who look me in the eyes and say, I believe in you. I believe in you. You can do this. And honestly, I've gotten kind of sick of it. because so many people believe in me. And I just, like, I get it. But then my sister comes to me and she's like, nobody believes in me. And I'm like, that's insane. I've got 700 people who believe in me. Take 699 of them. You know what the difference between me and my sister was? Healthy community. That was it. And we're in two very different places, and it's simply because of a lack of encouragement and a lack of healthy community and people to call. So I shared a little bit, you know, as I looked at my own life, I can see that every area of success was related to people who I talked with, and I wanted to give some examples of that because I think it's so important. And if you're under 25, and this is probably going to be helpful to you, especially. So I remember going to Pastor Glenn and Pastor Eugene are incredible leaders, and I feel so privileged to get to be as close with them as I am. They have been pivotal in helping me in my growth, but there are so many other people I'm going to highlight in a little bit. Specifically, though, I came to Pastor Glenn. I knew that he had bought a house when he was in his younger 20s. I was 18 years old. I had heard people. I was in economics in high school. I wasn't buying a house or anything. I just wanted to know. So I was like, what's the difference between buying a house or renting? And he was like, well, basically, blah, blah, blah. He tells the difference. And then he says, here's what you would need to do if you want to buy a house. You need to, you know, have a good credit score or plan on paying in cash. So you want to start saving. And then Pastor Eugene would tell me you need to pay yourself first, right? So then he's telling me all these things. I'm like, okay, credit. Well, how do I get, like, do you have, are you born with credit? No, you're not born with credit. You have to get it. Well, how do I get it? Well, okay, so now I'm asking all these people. In high school in economics, they don't teach you about that stuff. They should, but they don't. Then I, you know, he says, pay yourself first. Okay, well, how much should I save? And he says, well, if you're getting paid this much, you should save this much. And I'm like, okay. And I'm standing in front of my leaders, like, here's my finances. I work at Sal's Italian Ice, so I'd like to buy a house. But here's my finances. Basically, where do I go from here? And they were very, like, very open about it. They are way further along. Pastor Glenn's already bought a house. He can help me. Pastor Eugene is incredibly smart with finances. And all kinds of people you can call. So I speak with them. They tell me all these things. And then I remember, you know, long story short, with help and from counsel, I ended up buying a house later. So I bought a house, which is cool. But I would not have been able to buy a house had I not sought their counsel. Another thing, I remember somebody asked me, gosh, I don't remember who, but basically somebody was like, hey, what retirement plan do you have? And I was like, I thought you just retired. Like, no, what retirement plan do you have? Like, do you have like a 401k, Roth IRA? You know, and then I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. Am I supposed to have, like, how far behind am I? You know, like, I thought when you were 60 years old that you just, the government's just like, congrats, you made it. You know, and so I was ready for that. Well, somebody sat me down and said, no, here are the options. If you don't work for blah, 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 these are the options that are available for you. If you don't start, you know, then you'll retire broke. Well, I'm really glad they had that conversation with me because I hope to retire one day. And it's my own discretion. So then I end up having those conversations. All of that to say, you have to seek counsel for those things that you just don't have answers to. Now, those are my current examples because I'm a baby learning about 401ks and stuff. But the fact is, all of us have areas in our life that we don't have answers to, that there are people who are maybe more experienced or experts in a subject that you can seek counsel from. When Quigley, that's my husband, Michael Quigley, when he... He was just presented with a job opportunity. He just switched jobs about 2 months ago, but he was really excited. He's a barista. He loves coffee. He had this opportunity to thrive in that, and he came to me, and he was like, I have an interview, and I was like, go kill it, babe. But he was working somewhere else, and so he calls me, and he's like, they hired me on the spot. I'm putting in my 2 weeks, and I was like, the heck you are? We don't know anything about this yet. Like, congrats on getting the job, but let's take a minute and just make sure that this is, because my husband's amazing. He'd get any job that he had an interview for. That wasn't what I was worried about. I just more so like, here's our finances. What are the hours look like? What about ministry? Obviously, like, you have to have Sundays off. You have to have Thursday nights off. You're leading at the men's takeout. So all of these things, right? So then he's like, I'm putting in my 2 weeks. And I'm like, the heck you are. And we talked about it. And he was like, I'm ready. I said, well, I don't feel at peace about it just yet. Because I feel like I've trained myself to at least call 3 people and just say, hey, this is where I am. What do you think? So he calls Michael Allwood, which is one of his really good friends, somebody on our worship team. He calls Dave Stewart, who is a great, great friend of his and also somebody he really looks up to for somebody who's built his career. And then he called Keith Tominski, and who speaks at our church often. Wonderful people. So, of course, he tells me, I'm calling these three people. And I'm like, okay, whatever they say, I trust them. So he calls them. They all tell him the pros and cons of this thing, things that he had never thought about, right? They say, this is what could happen. This is what could happen. But this also could happen. This could happen. And he comes back to me and he says, okay, I've thought about it and I've laid this out. And overall, like the three of them, and I think it's a good idea. I know that this is what I'm risking, but I also know that this is the benefit. That things that neither of us would have known, neither of us would have seen. And because of that, he got this job and proceeded on. But I'm just saying all of that to say it was a great decision that was not made on our own, nor was it made, like, immediately, right? Because we're so quick to being like, I know what I want. Bingo, which is what Jonah did. And we don't want to be like Jonah because it didn't end well. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves at all times. And a brother, or for the ladies, a sister, is born for a time of adversity. I love this verse. I don't know if you know what adversity is, but it just means sucky times. Sorry, Pastor Laura. She hates that word. I'm sorry. Listen, this is important. This is important. Okay, hear me. Friends, right? A friend and a brother or sister. In scripture, we see that when we hear brothers or sisters, that they're referred to brothers or sisters in Christ, right? So not necessarily just blood related. Brothers and sisters. You can keep that verse up. Sisters are born for a time of adversity. That is a statement of purpose. If you are in need of anything, did you know that God created somebody who was born for that? We heard in Sandy, obviously, Jesus died on the cross. We are set free. But God designed healthy community for a reason. It's to keep us moving, to have support system. We have people who were born for times of adversity. I am really thankful that my friends were born. They changed my life, and they continue to. And I hope that I've changed theirs in some form or fashion, maybe not. At the same time, so we see that there are friends who are born for us. We have a responsibility. Do you know that you are somebody's friend? She so is. You are somebody's friend. You were born for somebody else's time of adversity. That should carry some weight for us. And I wanted to just paint a picture really quick. And by I want to paint a picture, I mean Paul paints it pretty nicely in Acts chapter 2. It says this. All the believers were together. That's us, just like this, and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. So just some context. Paul is writing about where the church came from, what healthy community looks like. He says, every day they continued to meet together in temple courts. Temple courts. There we go. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So in other words, what does a healthy community look like? Healthy friends. We see it in the scripture. They share the same values, right? It says all the believers were together and had everything in common, which means they share the same values. They took care of each other. It says they helped anyone who had a need. They sold their possessions. They made sure that if anybody had a need, they were there for each other, right? Because it's a give and take relationship. They met together regularly. They saw each other face to face, not just over Instagram. They met together, coffee and stuff. They ate food, praise God. And they enjoyed each other's company. This is what healthy community looks like. Doesn't that look like so much fun? And all of us are like, where is that community? You're sitting in it. You're here. You made it. And the door is open. And we're about to launch small groups. It's a great first step. We're going to talk about all of this stuff. But don't miss out. There is healthy community. I wanted to just share a story. This next picture is Ethan and Megan Fowler. They're some of our really great friends. And I thought they have they really show this picture beautifully because our relationship with them has been very much like they help us, we help them, they help us. And it's never felt weird. So they're Fowlers. His mom actually coordinated my wedding completely for free. They're Fowlers, their house, you can't tell, she's actually 9 months pregnant in that photo, but they got like a flip over house. So they called and they're like, hey, we really need help because we're having a baby in 2 weeks and we have to build our home. So we're like, we're on it. So we go over there. That's Babs. She's such a servant. We go over there. We help do their flooring and clean up their yard and all that stuff. Okay, so it was awesome. We go back home a couple months later. My house breaks. Electric just goes wild. It's nuts. They come over night of, fix it for free because they've got gifts that offer. They're just incredible people. They come over. They fix it. The next couple months, Hurricane Irma comes, completely destroys their house. We go over there. Can I tell you that we are unapologetic about asking for help? Because I know that they're reliable. They know that we're reliable. It's never weird. It's just a beautiful picture. And we enjoy each other's company every time. They're awesome people. And this is available to anybody who would just step out and own it. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit. So let's take a moment. You have notes in your program because I peeked. It says session 2. That's me. Let's take a moment. I just want you to list out your best friends. I know this is kind of random. Just take a moment and list out who are your best friends. I'm not going to just say best friends. I mean, who are the people that at 2 a.m. you call? Who can you call at 2 a.m.? Who will fly across the country to come see you when you need them? Okay? That's the preliminary for this list. List those people. I stole this definition from Melanie Castro, but basically she would say, because I wanted to change kind of the perspective, a lot of people think that like one best friend is like your ride or die, your go-to, and that's awesome, but she would say, you know, I don't have one best friend, I have a lot of best friends, which best friend is just someone that you can be vulnerable with, who accepts and loves you for 100% of who you are. Okay, that was just the definition of best friend. So I wanted to use that definition, and while you guys are writing your list, share some of my best friends, because they rock, and I get mic time. So this first picture, well, you guys remember, you can keep thinking about your 2 a.m.ers. This first picture, this is Amber and Katie. They were in my wedding. We look like garbage together on a regular basis because we're vulnerable with one another. I'm the only one who looks like garbage in that photo because I liked myself enough. I'm confident in Jesus Christ. I grew up with them. They are my best friends. I've known them for forever. Katie actually gave me my first singing lesson when I was 11 years old. I was in Wide Open Youth. She was leading a singing small group. Hey-o. And she gave me my first singing lesson, and we've never looked back. And Amber, I broke up. This is my favorite memory with her. No, not my favorite. One of them. I broke up with my boyfriend, and I literally, like, I was in high school, I think freshman year. And I walk into her house. I slam open the door, and I'm like, it's over. And I just rip off my backpack, and I just land in her lap, and she just holds me, and she's like, they're there. It'll be okay. It'll be all right. And, we never looked back. They're phenomenal friends. They're great people. These were the two people that I hung out with when Pastor Gunn was like, they're amazing. Expand your circle, because I just love them so much. Didn't need any more. But I'm really glad that I needed more. This next picture is Yvonne. Yvonne is one of my best friends. We've actually, our relationship has grown probably the fastest in just the short amount of time. We went to New York together. If you know her, she's got this, like, really thick New York accent. She can cook better than anybody, and she'll punch you if she needs to. So she cooks for me on a regular basis, but I also just know she has my back, and it's been really cool. There was a moment where I was leading worship at a funeral that was really, really tough. It was Teddy's funeral, and I was leading worship, and I was hardly making it through because it was just a hard time, and Yvonne wasn't at the funeral, but she was at home, and she didn't know what was really going on. She said she was in the living room, and she just started weeping. And she felt like God led her to Facebook. For whatever reason, she was like, I'm just waving, I don't know what happened. She opens up Facebook. She sees that we're streaming this funeral live. And immediately she feels like the Holy Spirit is telling her to intercede on my behalf. Do you know how cool it is to know that God is using people on your behalf to intercede for you? If you don't have somebody like that, you are missing out. I don't know how many people intercede on my behalf, but I know that there are so many people. I just have to give God glory for that even being a thing. Listen, it's a thing. It's a thing. People do it. It's awesome. Melanie is my fitness best friend. This next picture. She's my fitness best friend. She, her and I have been running. We've kind of like had the same weight loss journey, like almost like to the pound. So it's been really, really cool. We have a sweaty selfie group. If you'd like to join it, you can talk to her. But basically, if you work out in our church, you send a sweaty selfie, and then we all keep up with each other. And if you join the group and then you don't send a sweaty selfie, we call you out. So this is a picture of our sweaty selfies. She's my fitness best friend. I go to her for everything, like health-wise. I genuinely feel like I personally have a struggle with food that I'm just trying to get over. And so she's been my accountability partner for that. I want to show you an example of this text message. I text her, I'm in small group one night, and I said, I'm trying not to eat cookies at small group. And she said, stay strong. My confession. I popped 5 gummy bears in my mouth. Do better. Do better than me. Do better than me. Okay, so now I'm like, well, then I at least get 5 gummy bears because that's what you had. So look what I say back to her. I said, okay, I'm going to hold my horses in Jesus' name. I'm in small group. Everybody's eating. I'm actually at Bethany's small group. They always have good snacks. Everybody's eating, and I'm just trying to keep it together. And she said, she's giving me all the remedies. You know, it says apple cider vinegar. She meant vinegar. Apple cider vinegar works. It's magic. Do some breathing. Or distracting. Yeah, I'm in small group, like. Somebody distract me because these cookies are distracting me from this Bible study. Okay, so then she responds with this photo. She sends me a picture of different body styles, and she says, saying no to that cookie gets you a whole lot closer to your goal. Visualize yourself seeing the number on you want to see on the scale. And I respond, I'm chugging water and praying. She is amazing. She is amazing. And you know what? I left that small group cookie free. Completely cookie free. She's wonderful. And I'm currently holding her accountable for no cookies. So if you see her eat a cookie, let me know. The next person is Bethany Escada. You've already seen her this morning. She has really impacted my life, probably way more than she knows. But I've just learned something about her, that when she prays to the Holy Spirit, or when she prays, the Holy Spirit just speaks to me very clearly. So I kind of like use her as like my telephone line because I just love her. But the beginning of the year, I came to her and I was like, hey, I'm, you know, thinking about the vision of the worship team. And I feel this way about our team. Like, I feel like our team is growing, but we're just kind of lacking spiritually. What do you think that we should do? Like, do you, you know, just because I'm calling my council people, right? Do you have any ideas? Like, can you pray with me or whatever? And she tells me, like, why don't you guys, because our team has been growing, she's like, why don't you guys get together on a regular basis? Because our whole team, they rarely get to see everybody in one place. So, like, if you're singing on a Sunday, you might only see the new drummer once every 2 months, maybe, you know? So getting our whole team together. So then she was like, replace a band practice time. You already are here at band practice. Replace a band practice time. Come together and just use it as not a moment to do band practice, but just to hang out with one another, to pray with one another. So we created in January what we call Third Thursdays. We're the third Thursday of the month because we have band practice on Thursdays. We replace practice. We get together in a room, and we just share with one another. We fast for the whole day. We break fast together at someone's house, so it's always at a different location every month. And that person hosts the worship team. They pay for the food. It has been one of the best things for our team that we've ever done. And I wouldn't have thought of that by myself. I wouldn't have come up with, it was just her, it was just God using her in that moment to really help impact our worship team. And I am forever grateful for that. And it's still going. Next is Christina Williams. Shameless plug to buy our album. She's repping the Calm. Christina, I just want to be just like her and look just like her because she's so hot. But I admire her genuine desire to know God more. And we're in Bible college together, which is really cool. And she came to me the beginning of the year, and she's like, so Miranda, what are you looking forward to in school? And I'm like, I want to graduate. I want to be done. You know, whatever. I mean, like, if God speaks to me, so be it. But I am, like, I am just ready to be done with school. You know what I mean? And so I asked her, because she asked me, you know, why are you in school? And I said, so I returned the question, Christina, why are you in school? And she's like, she's just so holy. I can't. She's like, I just really want to know God more. It was incredible. She meant it with everything in her. I just really want to know God more. And I was like, I answered wrong. I'm like, okay, wait, let's do this again. Okay, Christina, ask me again. Why am I in Bible college? Because I just want to know God more. So she stretches me to just look past maybe what seems like the everyday checklist and really see, what is God doing? What is he speaking to me around me? I have two more. I know, we're being patient. Hopefully you're writing your list still. Okay, so next one is Pastor Laura. Pastor Laura, this is one of my favorite pictures. She saw me in my wedding dress. a little bit before everybody else, but she has been pivotal in my spiritual health. If you don't know, she knows a song for everything. Like, literally for everything. There's a song. I wish I could, like, give an example. Somebody tell me something. Fear? The Lord is my light, salvation, whom shall I fear? That's literally our conversations, like, on a daily basis. She just pulls out a song, pulls out a scripture for every single thing, like, everything you have need of. She is brilliant. She knows scripture backwards and forwards, and I admire that so much about her. She challenges me to study more scripture daily. She also helped me walk through one of the most difficult times in my life when I was battling forgiveness, just experiencing forgiveness, and her story is like just mind-blowing how God has used her, but then how he used her in my life to walk through that forgiveness season was incredible, and to that I just owe her so much thanks. So I love you, Pastor Laura. Thank you. And then last but not least, for those of you who don't know, Teddy Sauvel, she was incredible. Unfortunately, she passed away from cancer a little over a year ago, but she rocked my world. I mean, for somebody who has, like, she's so small. She had no title. She was just a person in our church who loved better than anybody I've ever met and probably anybody I will ever meet. And I actually got ready for my wedding at her house. Like, we had all of our girls sleep over there. And she would say this saying, Sandy, your southern accent was so beautiful wherever you are. I wish you could say it because you would sound more like her than I will, but she has a thick southern accent. She would say, I will spend the rest of my life down to my last breath being about my father's business, and his business is love. And that was her, like, life motto, and it was so true all the time. And because of Teddy, I am constantly challenged to love people that are not easy to love because she loved them easily, and it was only because of Jesus inside of her that she was able to do that. So there you go. Those are my friends. I love my friends. I have the best friends in the world. But I have to say this. The only reason that I have friends like that is because my friendship required my participation. So I asked you to think of two people, or think of however many people. Think of your best friend list. And I stole these statistics from a friendship sermon I listened to. But basically, 25 years ago, the average American had 6 best friends that they would call, they would go to for everything. And today, because of social media, the average American only has 2 2AMers that they can think of. And I am surprised by how many people I have come in contact with who would say, I don't have anyone. I don't think I have anybody to call at 2 a.m. So I'm not going to have you share your list. I just wanted you to use that for reference of how many people you have to call at 2 a.m. And I think, here's the deal. All of this sounds really good. Having a cabinet, having somebody to call for every area of your life, it requires our participation. We're going to talk about that. But I think there are 4 reasons why we actively don't pursue relationships. The one that I hear all the time when I talk with people is, I'm an introvert. The reason I just don't have many friends is because I'm shy, I'm quiet, I'm not the one to take the first step. Right? Any introverts in the room? No woos. Did you hear that? If I said any extroverts in the room. Okay, any introverts in the room? They're all like. Okay, I've heard that. I'm just too shy. My personality's not wired that way. I'm not like you. I'm an introvert, so I don't make new friends. The other one, which is where I was in 2011, number 2, is simply that I don't think I need any more friends. In 2011, I was happy. I had Katie and Amber. I was set. I don't need any more friends. Maybe some of you feel that way. You're comfortable where you are. Number 3, I'm too busy. My bulldogs just take up my schedule. They are so high maintenance. I'm just so busy. I don't have time to make new friends. I don't have time to invest in people. And the last one is, my friends have hurt me. The people that I would call my friends, I don't want to trust anybody anymore because they have hurt me. And so I don't need any more friends. I'm an independent woman. I-N-D-E-P-E-N-D-E-N-T. You don't know about me. I'm independent. I don't need anybody else because they've hurt me and I've learned my lesson. I get frustrated when I hear things like this. I get frustrated when I hear things like this because I think about how many people who would say one of these things and then they find themselves at home in a situation where they really need a friend, somebody who was born for their time of adversity, somebody who really needs a friend, and they would just say, I have no friends. Nobody wants to spend time with me. I'm never invited anywhere. I hear that all the time. I'm never invited anywhere. Can I tell you that we have to take responsibility? We have to take responsibility for our relationships or the lack thereof. Think about if you want a job, if you need a job, and you don't put in a resume anywhere, nobody is calling me. I don't have interview. I need a job, but so many places are hiring and none of them are calling me. Does that make any sense? You are responsible for putting in your resume. You need a job. You take that first step. Here's my resume. Here's what I'm a great friend. Look, if you want to, I can be a great friend. If you want to be my friend, let's hang out. Let's meet regularly. Let's share things in common. Let's eat. Yeah. Right? We need a job. You put in an interview. Or you put in a resume. We don't just sit there. We have to take responsibility for our relationships or lack thereof. And that's a hard one to say. Because for you introverts, you're like, I'm just not wired that way. We have to take responsibility for our relationships or lack thereof. Period. God didn't give us the spirit of timidity. And he designed us to be in healthy community. So what are we going to do about it? So as I was thinking about how, you know, because the topic is building relationships, it's so vague. I was trying to figure out, do I talk about how do I make friends? How do I keep friends? How do I pick good friends or bad friends? And ultimately, I just wanted to approach it on basically how to be a great friend, coming from the approach that we take responsibility for our relationships. So how do we become a great friend in order to build more relationships? The first thing is to make great friends, you have to be a great friend. To make great friends, you have to be a great friend, which means you can't be too busy. You can't be too quiet or too shy to invest in somebody. You have to intentionally get uncomfortable when somebody needs you to. You're born for it, actually. So we're going to break it down, and then we're going to end with these three things, which is how to be a great friend. We already know that it starts with you, right? We take responsibility for that. It starts with us. But the first thing is we're owning the initiation. So Bethany spoke a couple Sundays ago, if you were in second service, she talked about taking the first step when it comes to just meeting your neighbors and being a good neighbor. And this is pretty much the same concept. Own the initiation. Initiation means you do it first. You say the first thing. You do the first thing. You make the first action step. Own the initiation. Amber and I have been friends for so long, and we're both pretty relational, and we're also both pretty busy. And there was a time where I guess we didn't do like coffee or something for, I don't know, a month or so. And I can always tell because she's quality time. Her love language is quality time. And so she'll like say things like, well, I just haven't seen you in forever. It's like, I just haven't seen you in forever. Like, I don't even know what's going on in your life. And then I'm like, okay, that's a red flag. I probably need to do coffee. So I pull her aside one day because I'm like, Amber, she's like, you just haven't asked me. Like, she'd come to me like, you haven't asked me to coffee. I'm like, Amber, we are both initiators. Like, I always initiate the coffee dates. You always initiate the coffee dates. We don't need to get offended if one of us hasn't asked each other for coffee. If you want to do coffee, ask me. When I want to do coffee, I'm going to ask you. And there's no like weirdness between it. We own being an initiator and do it. Take the first step. And so now it's not a matter of like, well, Amber just hasn't called me, so I guess she doesn't want to hang out with me. No, I'm like, hey, if you don't want to hang out with me, you can decline my offer, but I'd like to go to coffee. And we own the initiation, and it's that simple. This was interesting. The fastest growing fear currently, the fastest growing fear or phobia is talking on the phone. Isn't that interesting? I am guilty. I hate answering the phone. If I don't know why somebody's calling me, I want to hear the voicemail first. Right? Esteban calls me all the time. I always want to hear what he has to say before I, it's funny. So the reason why we are so afraid of answering the phone is because we don't know where the conversation's going. We've been so privileged with texting and I don't have to respond yet, or I can respond when I'm not as angry and I can like say it better. But when you're on the phone, you're stuck. You're stuck. You don't know what they're asking, and you also don't know how you're going to respond because you can't delete it and autocorrect and all those things. It's the fastest growing fear. We have to let go of this fear of being unsure where conversation is going. We have to let it go. If you are going to own the initiation, which means you're going to meet somebody brand new or meet somebody that you haven't spoken to before, and you're going to say, hey, I'd like to do coffee, or what is your name? That's right. What's your name? What are you doing? Can I get your phone number? Like, can we connect sometime? And you have no idea where the conversation's going to go. No idea. You have to let go of that fear of talking on the phone because you can't text somebody you don't have their number to. You have to just set yourself up for success and leave the rest up to them. Before we move on, I wanted to interview Amber and Teresa. If you don't know, there's a picture of them. You guys can make your way towards the stage, and Kim has a mic for you. The two of them met at last year's women's conference. And it's been really cool, as Amber's one of her best friends, it's been really cool to see this relationship change her life. And it didn't start without Amber taking the first step, without Amber owning the initiation. So go ahead and come over here. I know.
She's crying.
Oh. She's crying. Thank you for coming,
it's
even
normal.
Though you just
She's
had surgery.
Okay.
So I have three questions. Basically, tell us about your experience initiating conversation with Teresa, because Amber was the one who initiated last year. Were you afraid? Were you nervous? And then why? Why did you want to do it in the first place?
Little bit of backstory. Around the conference time last year, I'm going to be really honest with you, I didn't want to be there. I did not want to go, and I still showed up, and I got my table number, and I remember, I don't know if Lauren Thompson is in the room. I don't think she's here, but I tried to go back and switch my number so that I could be with someone I already knew, someone I was comfortable with, didn't want to be here. And she just kind of says, let God decide. So I walk away rolling my eyes. Literally, I'm being really real with you guys. And I sit down and, you know, we're having small group time and I'm sitting next to Teresa. We start talking during one of our breaks and it just felt kind of like an instant connection, and I could really relate with her. She could relate with me, and we're in line for lunch. We're still talking. We're just talking, and I hear her just talk about her life and how she lives to be obedient to God, and I'm like, I want to be more like that. I want to be more like her. She's a mom. She's a grandmother, and she's married, has been married way longer than me. So I'm like, I want to learn from her. So I said, we should get coffee sometime. And I remember saying it and being like, who said that? At that time in my life, I was in a really dark place, and I was not open to any new relationships, and I had even kind of pushed away some of my current relationships. And so when I said that, I shocked myself. That wasn't the norm for me. And she said that she would love to. Do you want to add anything?
So yeah, we were walking actually to lunch, to the lunch line, and she had asked me, and of course I just said yes. And from there we made a coffee date. Mm-hmm.
So how from this moment, so you guys go on your first coffee date, right? You meet here, you own the initiation, now you have a coffee date, you have no idea what you're going to talk about, right? How is that relationship from that first coffee date, how is that to today? How has that relationship changed your lives?
Well, our first coffee date was amazing. We talked for hours at the Starbucks around the corner, and I just remember, she actually shared the verse in Acts about they broke bread together. They met regularly, and we started meeting once a week for coffee after that. And I just remember thinking of that exact verse and saying, this is community. This is what it's supposed to be like. And I've never had this, and that's why I've always felt like there was something more. And so it completely enriched my life. And then I remember God starting to put on my heart, like, okay, there's other people that need this too. Talk to them. And then I started going on way too many coffee dates. My husband would probably say that I spend a lot of money at Starbucks. We've also evolved to boba tea now. So everyone knows, once a week, I'm going to tea with Teresa. That's what I call it. But yeah, and it's honestly brought so many people into my life that wouldn't otherwise be a part of my life that constantly encourage me, constantly remind me of who I am and who God is. And I cannot imagine not having that now.
Yeah. And it's been really cool also. Yeah, you can give him a hand. It's been really cool, Teresa, just being Amber's best friend. She raves about you, and getting to see where she was a year ago to where she is now, just meeting with you regularly, has changed her, and it's noticeable in her circle. And so for that, I want to say thank you, because your mentorship has made a huge difference in her and in our friendship, and it's been incredible. The last question is, what would you say to someone here who is afraid to take the first step?
Yeah, okay. Well, I would say, as Amber said, she asked me for coffee. And I was sitting here today thinking about relationships and all, and my daughter's here, and my sister, and my mom, and like you said, I have a circle. But that day when she asked me, I just made time, and so my circle expanded, and I'm in the 50s, I think I'm in 55 this year, so I mean, I'm in the 50s, and to have a genuine friendship with Amber, that I would encourage all of us that maybe have, you know, a life full to expand that circle, because it's life enriching. It's changed my life as well. Amber's a breath of fresh air in my life to have be able to walk out this year. We met, if it's okay, about, a few weeks ago, just because it's been about a year, talking about the last year and going out, kind of just talking about where we've come. And just to think back at the different coffee dates and the things we've talked about and how I believe it's changed my life as well. Yeah.
So. And I would say really quickly, so once God started putting on my heart, like, talk to this person, and I'm like, they don't know who I am. I don't know who they are. Like, they're going to think I'm weird. They're literally a stranger. But I just did it, and I will say, I mean, I've been on a lot of coffee dates now. Not one person has said no to me. So I would encourage you, and I think the reason for that is because everyone wants connection. And so just be encouraged that you might initiate, but that person probably wants it just as bad as you, and they might not know it yet. So
can we give them a hand? Thank you guys so much. We are not too busy. We're not too shy. We're not too comfortable to make friends. We just have to own the initiation. The second thing to be a great friend, right, to make great friends, we have to be a great friend, is that we need to be present and to be real. I heard somebody once say that we are impressed by each other's strengths, but we connect over weaknesses. We're impressed by strengths, but we connect over weaknesses. This has been so cool to see in our third Thursdays that we do as a team. I won't say names, but this last week there was a moment we were sharing, like, of a God moment that we had, and how God had spoken to us in that moment. We shared it with each other. And somebody in our group shared something that they had never shared before. They had been divorced and remarried. And it was very vulnerable. It was a vulnerable moment for them to be that open. But as soon as they said it, you know what happened? Somebody else was like, well, since you shared, I was also divorced. And it was the hardest time of my life. And now all of a sudden there's this beautiful moment where we're seeing this story of redemption take place. Why? Because of being real. Because of being vulnerable. So many people are afraid to let others in because you're just like, I don't know if they're going to like me. You're created in God's image. Also, who cares? Who cares if they don't like you? Be you. Be real. And then be present. Learn to listen. This has been one of the things that in my relationships that I've really love to do is simply to listen and get to know other people. We go out, Michael Quigley and I, we go out regularly with new people, and oftentimes people are like, I just don't know what to say. I don't want to start a conversation because I don't know what to say. You know what I do? I pull out Google questions, and I type in 200 questions to get to know somebody. And then all of a sudden I start asking, what was your first car? What's your favorite dessert? Whatever. By the time you get down to like question 21, it's like, what's your life's biggest regret? All of a sudden, me and these people at this table, we're best friends because we've learned to connect with one another over weaknesses, also over strengths, but it's just a matter of being present and being real. My last point to being a great friend is being quick to forgive. Here's the thing. We are dealing with people. People are going to let you down. There are going to be times where you initiate a conversation and somebody either says no, or you text somebody first and they don't respond to your text, or maybe you said something that might have offended them, or they said something that might have offended you. You have got to learn to be quick to forgive. Could you imagine if our relationship with Jesus was contingent on whether or not he had forgiven us yet? Whoa, he has forgiven us. He left it all on the cross. He has forgiven us, and we are called to do exactly the same. Learn to be quick to forgive. Just let it go. We are dealing with people. And then if somebody lets you down, try again. Try again. If somebody doesn't respond to your text, text again. If you do one coffee date and it was like kind of okay, I mean, use your spirit of discernment, obviously, but keep pursuing somebody. Own the initiation, right? We're owners of it. Here we go. You can start today by doing four things. The first one's pray. Pray about who God, right? I went home that night. I wrote a list of things that I could, of people that I could pursue relationships. We're going to pray in just a few minutes. Pray that God would make you aware of who in your life you could be pursuing relationship with, real deep relationship with. The second thing is you can join a small group. I'll be leading a freedom group, hey, on Saturday nights. You can sign up in a few minutes. There are so many small group opportunities, which is just a place where we have said, you want healthy community? It's right here. Show up. Right, we're owning the initiation. Join a small group. You can sign up for one today. Initiate a coffee or dinner date. Personally, this is just one of my favorite things. It is so easy to connect with somebody over coffee or tea or soda. If you don't like coffee, you weirdos. Or initiate a dinner date. Huh? Oh, yeah. Initiate a dinner date. Invite somebody over. Go out to dinner. Whatever you got to do just to take an hour away to connect with somebody that you don't normally connect with. And the last one is serve. I don't, honestly, and don't get offended by this. I don't know your name unless we've served together. Unless, I mean, seriously, if you are someone who attends our church, if we have never served alongside each other, whether it's setting up for a dream team or putting down chairs for a wedding or setting up tables or Christmas decorating, I just don't know your name until we serve alongside each other, because it's not as awkward. If you're over a cup of coffee, you're sitting there making eye contact, and maybe that intimidates you. If you're serving alongside someone, your hands are busy, you're just talking away. Yeah, my husband and my friends and my. All of a sudden, you make all these best friends because you're connecting. So I would challenge you, if you're currently not serving on a team, serve, get plugged in, serve on a team. You will make life-lasting friends who share common values with you by serving in the same areas you're passionate about, and it makes a difference. This is not possible without Jesus. Being a great friend is not possible without Jesus. We need him to remind us that we are to be quick to forgive. We need him to give us the boldness to take that first step. We need him on every level to be a great friend. We need Jesus. It's not possible without him. And so as I close, I'm just going to ask you, would you stand up to your feet? And can we grab the hand of our neighbor? And I hope you leave here feeling challenged. I hope you leave here with people in mind of who you can pursue deeper relationship with. And let's just pray that this Acts model, this church model of healthy community would come to fruition right here in our very own church, right here in these tables. Would you join me as we pray for healthy relationships? Jesus, we thank you so much, God, that you designed community so intentionally. And God, that you have given us a space where we can come freely and boldly, knowing that your presence is with us, but also, God, a space where we're not getting slammed or judged, but your presence is with us. And you've created a community of friendship that are not here to discourage anyone or to belittle anybody, but God, you've set us up to be lifted up and encouraged by one another, to go to one another for guidance, to go to one another for counsel. You've created this beautiful picture, and God, we just want to submit to what you've created. Lord, we ask right now, I pray for an awareness over all of these ladies, God, for the people that you have put in our lives that we can pursue deeper relationship with. God, we thank you for stories like Amber and Teresa, and I ask, God, that we would be challenged today to own the initiation, knowing that you have designed us, you have called us to do so, to be great friends, and ultimately that you would get the glory for all of the friendships that we have, that they would be founded in you, rooted in you, and that we would see so many more testimonies and stories of people who have learned to flourish because of the relationships that you have designed and have so intricately and intentionally placed around us. God, we love you, and in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Awesome. So you are at, yeah, we're about to go into small groups. You're about to have practice great friendship time. We're about to be present and be real. So you're going to sit down at your small groups right now. Your small group leader has some questions, and we're just going to talk to one another. Hey, be like Amber and Teresa. Get somebody's number today.